to protect our church and to protect us. Holy God, we pray now that you will speak a word for us, a word of love, a word of hope, and a word of peace. Speak now because we're listening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as we continue, I wanted just to say that the last time they came out was because there was a bug in the alarm upstairs in the tower. As a bug got into the tower, we had to get everybody out of here. It was a day for the school and everybody outside. And when the alarm people came, that alarm sits upstairs triggered, and they found a thing in there. Get the alarm off. So I'll have to check mine because it will go off again. And so here we are. Now the sermon title today is Rich Towards God. Rich Towards God. Making me smile as I think of this. Jesus told the rich young man, he says, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God. Right? The scripture said, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God. And so my sermon title comes directly out of the text, directly out of it, Rich Towards God. And so rich towards God versus poor towards God. Right? Rich towards God versus... One could ask oneself, am I rich towards God or am I poor towards God? And what does it mean? What does it mean for us, right? What does it mean? Now, here's a little humor to begin. Comedian Jack Benny from TV's Golden Age had a skit which illustrated how we place money ahead of everything. He's walking down the street when suddenly he's approached by an armed robber. Your money or your life. There's a long pause. Jack does nothing. The robber impatiently queried, well, Jack replied, don't rush me. I'm thinking it over. Jack Benny. Some of us who are older, we know Jack Benny, right? So instead of giving up his money, he's thinking it over. Here's another food for thought. It is called Money is Like Seawater. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller, of all people, because you know he was rich, how much wealth does it take to satisfy a person? He replied, just a little bit more. The Romans had a proverb, money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. Money is like seawater for many folks. The more they drink it, the thirstier they become. So this morning, I would like us to think a few moments about our money and our life. Let's see what Jesus says about this. Do you realize, friends, that out of Jesus' 38 parables, 16 of them dealt with humans' relationship to money and material things? Can you imagine? Out of 38 parables, 16 dealt with money. It is our money that's the trouble. And John Wesley said to preach many sermons concerning our money, our pocketbook. Today we look at a parable about a man that God called a fool. We all know the saying that states, a fool and his money will soon part. Fool and his money will soon part. This is a parable about a man who was a fool, not because he would part with his money, but because he would not part with his money. This man was a fool, not because he had money, but because the money had him. This man eventually died with the cancer of covetousness. We learn from this man why truly the world is not enough. There are some tremendously valuable lessons that we can learn from the man in this parable. that will help us relate to money and make sure that money is rightly related to us. So today, we want to look at what Jesus said about our pockets, our pocketbook. As we think on what God has for us today. Here's the background of the gospel. We have read the gospel story. Here's the background. You know that, you know, friends, that money has caused more problems in families than anything else. We know that, right? People fight over dead money all the time. We call it dead money back home. People die, and then people begin to fight over who gets the money, what's left for me. Good families are broken apart by money. Husband and wife, people have plots and plans about things that is related to money, right? You see it on TV, husbands kill wife. You know, wives, we just talked about the anniversaries of folks today. They figured it out because they're still living together. maybe, right? Right? And so we know it's true, and it's not the money problem. We have siblings who don't speak to each other. Here comes those whose candles are just being lit now. Praise the Lord. Oh, I didn't even know where you were. I thought somebody was taking care of all of you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So here we are, the faithful ones. So here we are in the gospel. Here's the background of the story. The background for our story is an incident that occurred in Galilee as Jesus was teaching a large crowd. A young man called out from the crowd and he said, "Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the inheritance of our father." Do you know what we talk about that now? We talk about prenup. Prenup. They didn't have prenup. Right? And now we want to have living wills. Now all of us who have children and grandchildren, you better have something tied up, because when you get older, they forget how good a parent you were. Do you know what I'm saying? I know your children are very good. But I have one child and I'm not trusting. I'm making sure I tell Zamzam all the time. And she says, "Oh no, Tiffany wouldn't do that." I said, "We're not even going to test her. I'm not even going to, you know, try to figure it out. But I'm, when my hands are shaking and I can't run, I'm not figuring it. I'm making sure that my money is all wrapped up and is mine. And there's somewhere I'm doing it when my mind is working." I even thought about it the other day. I says, "I should look at my little will again and see." Because now my mother was in the will and now she's gone home to be with the Lord. I've got to make an appointment with the lawyer and figure it out and tie it up. Because she loves me a lot. I know, but sometimes they learn to love the money more when you get old. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks, you know, you all know your children. I could tell you stories as a pastor, right, of folks, older people, who gets put into places that they shouldn't go to just because their children, daughters and sons and things have what? Take hold of their money, and they forgot that was the mother or the father who brought them out into the world. Do you know that? Take hold of their money and they lock them up in places just because of money. So you know what? You've got to be smart. So here's the guy he's asking. He says, "Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the inheritance of our father." Now the Jewish law clearly prescribed that at death of the father, the elder son received 2/3 of the inheritance and the younger son 1/3. But this guy, this is obviously a younger son, and he's complaining about the money, right? He's complaining about the inheritance and unfairness of it all. And you know why the elder son have to get the bulk of it? Oftentimes, in many families, the elder is the first, and they sometimes have the burden of taking care of the parent. Lots of times, sometimes they don't live up to it. Money is trouble. And here it is, he wanted it to have it divided. And Jesus, so it was then that he would say this to Jesus. Jesus refused to get involved in a petty family squabble. He was not going to get in the middle of this money thing, right?
So we better not pray to Jesus for Jesus to help us sort out our money problems with our spouses and our children. We better try to figure it out ourselves, because Jesus is busy with other things. He refused to get into this squabble, and so he said, "Beware of greed, for life does not consist of things possessed." Jesus makes his point. I tell you, he was a wise man, Jesus. He was very wise. When you look at his words, even if you just look at it from a moral standpoint, his sayings and his words are so wise and so pertinent to every day for 2,000 years. His words, you cannot imagine that a young person of 33 years old, would say these things. Because, you know, 33 years old now, they say different things. You know what I'm saying? It's a different time. They're smart with us. But he was so wise. So he says, it's not about the money. You see, people think Jesus is caught up about money. No, we're going to have money. Some of us are going to have. Some won't have enough. Some spend it. Some, you know, shop all the time. We don't have any money. But he wants him to understand it's not. It is about beware of greed. It's a greed. It's the wanting of the money. It's how you make the money rule you. Right? Money becomes our what? Our God. Our possessions become our God. In this case, he's talking about money. The sum total of a person's life is more than their financial portfolio. How wonderful that is, that salvation is not based on how much we have. Isn't that amazing? Because then I wouldn't be saved, right? You wouldn't be saved. I mean, some of you have more than others, but there's a lot of billionaires. They says there's over 600 and something billionaires in America now. They says, how many years ago? I read that last night. I meant to print it out and I forgot. There were only like 6 or 7, and now there's over 607 billionaires. And there's over 15 million millionaires. You mean your total assets. You remember, right? Because sometimes when you put your assets together, if you own a house and you have stocks and you have insurance and all of that, some people are looked to be millionaires. It's not just on the cash from an accounting standpoint, right? There's asset, short-term asset, and long-term asset, right? Liquid asset, Susan, accounting person, liquid asset, not so. So there's cash, and then there's stocks and bonds and investments and house. And when they put it all together, and insurance, is a lot of millionaires, right? And so we see that money has become so important in our world. So, a person's life, in this parable, is not based on the financial portfolio. He then illustrated this point by telling a story. He said, there was once a man who had an unbroken run of prosperity. I love the story. This man was making good money, right? Making good money. Things were happening well for him. His inheritance was growing. He had a lot of property and land. And so what did he do? What did he do, church? What did this man do? Did he say, let me take some of it, invest some of it. I'm going to leave some for the family, but I'm going to give some to my community, the poor people around. I'm going to share some. Because you know what? If we leave every dime we have to our kids, may I tell you something? If they're going to hate you, they're going to hate you anyhow. If they're going to write a mommy dearest or a daddy dearest, they're going to write it anyhow when you're gone. You know that, friends. Don't leave all of it to them. Give some for good works. You know, you can't buy their love. I don't care what my daughter's going to say about me when I'm dead in the grave. What do I care? Nobody's going to tell me, and they come to tell me they're dead too. So you might as well look and say, I'm going to leave some. I am very big at looking at what I have and say, this is, you know, I'm making sure to keep me so when I get older, I'm going to have something. And this is what I'm leaving for the family, and this is what I'm giving to the work of the Lord, or whatever I choose. Right? Because we have to stand before God, church, and give an account. The one who has given us the money. So this guy, In today's language, I would say he played a commodities market and he was making money. Stock market was good. It was good the other day, then it went down again, but it was good. So prosperous did he become that his barn could not hold the crops. He had so much. How come oftentimes there's a story about a man, he would pray to God for money, pray, and he says, God, when I make the money, I'm going to give you 10%. That's when he was making $5. When he made 100, he says, okay, I can give 10%. But when he got to 1,000, he couldn't give 10% anymore. Because when he looked at $100, he couldn't. So sometimes when we're stuck, we pray to God for what? God to give us money because we're going to bless the church. We're going to feed the poor. But once the percentage, the money starts adding, and the percentage, the same percentage is the larger because it's of a larger amount, the model changes. We no longer can give it because I can't give the church $10,000 out of whatever or whatever it may be or whatever we choose. So this guy said, he says, I am going to do what? I am going to build more barns. I'm going to become a hoarder. I'm just going to build barns upon barns. I'm not opening up a food pantry. I'm not opening up a soup kitchen. I'm not going down to the local food bank and give some money. I'm going to build more barns and I'm going to stock it with food. Right? Can you imagine that kind of heart that has that's joy for them? I'm going to stock it and then I'm going to eat and be merry. He says, I'm just going to eat and eat and just sit and be happy and give it to no one. And then Jesus, that's where the greed comes in. You see, it's not in having the money. Because who blesses us? God. Who blessed us with the brain, the mind, the opportunity? You know how many people work hard? Poor people are some of the hardest people working in the world. Do you know that? They just haven't gotten the opportunity to make it. You know, there are folks who get up 4 in the morning just to go to a job who pays them $8 an hour. And it could have been any of us, but for the grace of God. You know, there are poor people who work so many hours a day just at less than minimum wage, right? It's just that things put together for some of us. Opportunities, family, right? Families, where we look back on some of our families and we think about our grandparents and our parents had to do. There's a lot of things too that impact on where people are in life. It goes again. Economic status. That's what I said to him. If he had turned it off, well, turn off the whole alarm system. Because it's defective. That's why it's not a fire. Let's don't leave. Please. He's gonna turn it off. Turn it off altogether. Right? Because we know that it isn't. And so what happens is here, he took all the money and Jesus said to him, he said to him, you have done the wrong thing. Because you now have filled the barns. You have filled your barns with all that you have. You're taking all that you have, and tonight may be your last night on earth. Right? And here's the message here. No matter what we have, we cannot take it with us. We're going to leave it for somebody else. Somebody who's going to appreciate it, or somebody who's not going to appreciate it, he'll take care of it. Somebody who's going to appreciate it, or somebody who's not. So here are the points. He had full barns, but he had an empty heart. Right? He had full barns, but he had an empty heart. Ron, you should go and help him turn it off. Carl will help him turn it off. Right? It's defective. See, I knew. Right? He had full barns, but just listen to me. It's going to go away. He's going to turn it out. He had full barns, but an empty heart. Right? the land, the man had so much because his land produced a lot of things, a lot of produce, but still yet he wanted more. Let us be quite clear that our heart is full. When we are rich with God, it starts with the heart. When we are rich with God, it starts with the heart. Friends, first, not with our barns. So we could have full barns, but an empty heart. Number two, he overestimated himself because he believed that his life was in his control. His life was under his control. That he can define his destiny. He believed that. But he could not. None of us can do that. Right? I always say to myself, as I say to you, tomorrow is promised to no one. We're here today, and we don't have to be here tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is promised to no one. So he overestimated himself. The third thing is, he forgot about the real business of life. When money becomes your God, or things or possession becomes your God, you forget about what life really means. Right? Because, I mean, how many of us here, I always feel when I pray for possessions or I pray God to bless me, I want God to bless me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. So I could be a blessing to my church. And listen, friends, I know we bless our children, but that's not the mark. We are expected to bless our children. Even the enemy, even Satan, blesses children. We are required to bless our children. So that is not the, oh, well, I take care of my children. Oh, yes, okay, good. We're all supposed to bless them and take care of them. The mark of Christ, what Christ expects from us is how we step out by faith and bless others. Out of our own comfort zone. How we step out and bless others beyond our community. When we see there's a need, or we bless our church, so that our church can be a blessing to others. That's what a life is that is rich with God. A life that understands that. And he forgot the time, the fourth point. He thought time was in his hand. But time was not in his hand. Time is in the hand of God. Time. And so, here is a little thing I read. It says, can't buy heaven. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Money can buy you books, but it can't buy your brain. God in heaven has to give you that. Money can buy food, but not appetite. Somebody I know is very sick, who's sick, and she said she wished she could eat. She's been diagnosed with cancer and with all the chemo and so on. She's lost all this weight. She can't eat. She says, I wish I had appetite to eat. All the money in the world came by your food. I was going to say money can buy your finery, but not beauty, but not anymore. Everybody's buying beauty. You get Botox. They get this. They get eyebrows. You know what I mean? We know. Woman, we know. Yesterday I got a pedicure, I got a manicure, got my eyebrows done. That was on Friday. You know, we could help out. But it can't buy us true inner beauty, inner spirit. Money can buy us a house, but not a home. Can't buy happiness in a home. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy us health. Good health comes from the blessing from the Lord, and then all of his grace be upon us to do what is right. Money can buy luxury, but not culture. Money can buy all the amusements and activities, but not happiness. Money can buy religion, if you so choose, but not salvation. Salvation is freely given by God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Money can buy a passport to everywhere but heaven. Money cannot buy our passport to heaven. Only through Jesus Christ. Only through him. And so Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said to the Galatians church, he said, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated and at the right hand of God. Right? When you're rich with God, when you're rich toward God, you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And what an awesome gift it is that those of us who only make $25,000, those of us who make $600,000, those of us who make $150,000, those of us who make $80,000, those of us who make little and nothing, we all are afforded or given the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Freely given. What a blessing and thankfulness that is. Freely given to us without a price. No charge. That when we get to heaven, when we get there, Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. He didn't say there were first class rooms and second class rooms, friends. We're all going to be in the same room with the one cot. It's going to be a holy cot, hopefully, and we're going to be able to sleep. But there's no division in heaven. Can you imagine that some folks are used to all their money and all the luxury, they're going to look around and say, that little poor person, you got to heaven too? What a glorious day it's going to be. When we all see Jesus. Huh? We'll be jumping. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what, friends? There'll be no color scheme. No race scheme. No economic status scheme. Huh? Oh, what a glorious day it's going to be. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, wouldn't I have told you that I've gone to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you must be. Yes, I'll tell him in a minute. Let me write it down. And where I am, you will be also. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness that is afforded to all of us. And we got through most of the service and we will be fine. Thanks be to God as we now have the response, which is, you can sing the hymn while I give them the password. Got to give them the password. Praise God.